Councilman Spohr, and he'll show up, I'm sure. He hasn't notified anybody. First item on our workshop is the SR 26 and First Street intersection. The public meeting process, please bear with us as we progress through the technical aspects of the public meeting. This public meeting is now open at 7 o'clock PM. And is being held to receive Department of Transportation report and receive public comments. I will now ask Bob Romaine from the Department of Transportation to share with us his presentation. Other than probably when we're actually getting the work grading and
Bob?
Yes.
Do you coordinate with the telephone company when you do the excavation?
Yeah, we get all the utilities involved. I think also formal utility notifications, I believe, have gone out to all the affected utilities. If they're not, they're going out this month.
Okay.
But I think they'll be put on this. So that's stage one.
Bob?
Yes.
When you depress that grade, you're going to affect the site distance. What are you doing to accommodate that?
When I set a prospect of 300 feet each side, that'll be a consideration on our high site distance. So you recognize by lowering it, your vertical site distance changes a little bit. That will definitely, we will meet the design speed standard for site distance on this.
What are you using for design speed?
What will we be using?
Are you just going to use a posted?
Is it posted? What's 35? It's posted 35 right there.
Yes.
So typically, we're right there either at 35 or 5 or 10 miles above that. But generally, on slow speed, we're pretty much right at posted miles, well, the full speed goes.
Because that is an issue right now, is site distance. That's something that we need to make sure gets addressed.
Where is this, the site distance to the south?
To the north.
To the north? Well, regardless, our design speed, we won't be doing any deviations on our site distance. So we will be whatever the design criteria is. It's 35 posted, that's what we'll have out there. Otherwise, if you start extending and go for a higher design speed, then we'll be chasing these excavation points out, impacting more folks, and trying to minimize some of that.
What about possible retaining wall underneath?
The funding we got will not cover a lot of add-ons on this project. We're really tight on our funding. We were lucky to get this funding, but it was just shy of $1 million for the whole wall collapse. Not a lot of money to play with. If we go into stage two, I'll cover the main intersections. There's 24 and first. There's a few things I want to go over here because this, I think, will generate some comment. Historically, there's been a lot of accidents. The last 3 years, we had 21 collisions. So, and if you go for 5 years, obviously, you have a lot more collisions. So for the last 3 years, we had 21 collisions, and the design that was developed to mitigate for all these collisions at this intersection was to want to fall back on 24 so get the truck route established. So they're not coming up here and you don't have slow turning movements onto the highway, which is a contributor to collisions. So that's why this component is first. This will deal with the trucks, this will assist us in the trucks. Then we come to the intersection, we have a couple things that we're doing here. We're going to be striping in left turn pocket to turn on here. This didn't have as many collisions on the highway on our accident history. Most of our collisions are coming from cross traffic. So we're restricting cross traffic on the first by a raised island that forces it to the right turn off of there. We'll have any other traffic that wants to come either up to here, they'll come underneath the bridge. We're not approving the radiuses here. We're going to go to the next week to do that. Because if we did a radius improvement here, we'd be touching this building. They don't have the money to buy a building to just increase this radius for truck turns. So we have opportunity in the next stretch, next street to do that. So we'll do the next one now. So they'll have their circulatory pattern. They'll come down and head west if they need that. And anybody who's again, the fellow will be coming underneath 24. And, you know, if they're a passenger car, they can negotiate this quite well. But trucks, big trucks, will have to go to the next one. You there's some opportunities here. Having access is right by the intersection is very, causes a lot of collisions, problematic. We do have like Rachel Kirby go up here. There may be some modifications here if there's a real issue with turning requirements, so we try to minimize the impacts of this, these businesses here. You know, we'll look at those. Definitely be looking for comment on that from the voters. Just try to do the best we can with the situation we have. So this here is possible access purchase, and I just put that on the table. This is what our typical standard is, but we want to work with the community to help the best solution. And we have some rates improvements here for the right turn, for the right turn capacities here. And that's the intersection point that we're looking at there. And as we go up north, up to Bowloop Street, this is the radius improvements for trucks. This would be signed for truck route. Passengers could take, you know, survey or standard car could just take this quite easily. But so the project pertains to improving these radiuses and doing the channelization work here and the radius improvement on the south. That is stage two. But I anticipate funding, the way I'm comparing it right now, I don't have official letter, but I anticipate that we're going to be running this year. And I would expect the structure of this component to be a year round.
I will now ask for public comment, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so that I might recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and we'll allow up to 5 minutes per comment. Roger.
My name is Roger Teamy. We have some property involved here. I look at that intersection and closing those accesses off so you can only turn one way. I think it's a pretty good deal. It may stop me from going across that Highway 26. Every time I pull up there, I think, you know, for as smart a guy as your mother born into this life, you sure do dumb things. Anytime you drive up there to go across that highway, it's just an accident waiting to happen. So I'm really pleased to see that being shut off. Other than that, you know, we've got a little down there. You know, we'll cooperate any way we can to make this a safer intersection.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment? Oh no, you don't have to. That's Jean Parrish.
Salamont Park Supply. Now, when you do this, I'm sorry I was late, but this first section, I assume that's what you're talking about before I came. Is that going to actually close down access to my business?
Your business is
Salamont Park Supply.
I'm not sure.
Right there.
That's almost the 300 feet from the bridge there to where you're going to have to lower that grade.
No, that shouldn't look there.
You're talking about a busy time for us.
Well, they change it to March. They're not going to do it in the fall. But what they are going to do is they're going to lower that grade. It'll put you your property so you don't have to go down so far. It'll be a little bit down, but yeah.
And I did mention that as we go and we do the grade remodeling, of course, then along the sides of the road, we will be addressing the approaches, the accesses on the highway, so the correct grades up. So obviously, we can lower and change everything. We will be making adjustments on the property.
Would you show just a 30-foot radius?
Hey, Mr. Hilmes, you want to introduce yourself for the record?
Stuart Hilmes.
When we do the, we'll lay the template out, right now, like I said, it's 50. I'll look at the higher end of the next truck. Part of that is encourage some truckers to not really negotiate. They see a nice curve, they're going to take it or slow down. So there is a concern that we're trying to, what's called traffic calming with, you know, the right size being referenced. Another possibility down the road, I didn't get into, down the road, that as this develops out and make these changes down the road, you know, there's always opportunities for more improvements. And I say that as that someday down the road, if traffic increases, maybe you guys might be looking at a similar idea as well. There will be opportunities down the road for other improvements. But back to your comment about going with a little larger radius, I'll look at that. Like I said, Mike's tight, and he's buying right of way and getting outside the budget.
But if you're buying some right away, a little bit more, sometimes it doesn't impact.
I'd like to argue for the greater radiuses too, because up on 26 and Reynolds, we've got a more generous radius up there than it was originally planned. And, you know, this is almost the truck capital of the world. A lot of trucks will do here. Unusual to see every other vehicle being a big truck heading down the road. So I think we have to deal realistically with that and think in terms of safety. So I would argue for as generous a radius as you can possibly have.
That was Mike Beardsley with the port.
Jerry from our profession. On that first stage here, is there, you've got the first radius that goes up on the spur.
Yes.
Right. Is that going to be open while you do under the underpass?
This will have it tore up, but my plan is that during construction, like I said, unless we really get into some messy stuff and that goes through, this will remain open. There'll probably be some regrading, so it won't be like paved road. It'll be a little rough.
Can we come up with, as long as it's open, because you have to have access to get up on the spur and go in first, or we're dead.
Right. Yeah, we're not planning on choking out the city. We'll have it open. We'll probably, I'll be looking at signing, maybe because we are diverting more traffic up here. And then look at trying to get this temporarily, you know, reduced during the construction period to try to make it a little bit
so that we can have access first.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to totally cut you off there. But it won't be a smooth road for part of that time.
Yeah. Either that or we have to use Roger's driveway.
We'll talk about that later. Everything's available.
Put your daughter in,
huh?
Yeah.
Barbara Taylor. I'm an RV owner, and the only problem I see here, that how far is that on First Street there? How far is that divider going to go? Because we, you know, there's a dump site behind that station. And all the RVs. The ones pulling cars and trailers or whatever, they cut right across there because it's easy access. And the other day when I was coming back from camping, and there was a semi truck parked there waiting for traffic. So I had to go down and around the station. And if I had a car or trailer behind me, there was no way that I could turn around, you know, to behind the station to get to the dump site.
You bring up a good point on the way. I don't have a set number for you. But one thing here is you notice we have two lanes going southbound on the side. Obviously, with the deletion of the southbound to 24 and down, this opens up an opportunity to convert this to like a left turn lane for storage. And that'll help the car sheet across here is not a good thing.
Well, no, I don't have a good thing.
And so there is this access right here, it's really close to the intersection, unfortunately, because of this crossing that has a problem. We will be looking at trying to make an adjustment on this side. And we can convert this to left turn storage, that helps. That will help some.
Okay.
And then it'd have to come down around.
Okay, no, I'm just wondering, because that truck sitting there, you have to think about that. Oh boy, down the way, you know, you turn around, but you cannot turn around behind the station.
Well,
you have to,
you
know,
pull
up, you backed up, and then you've
got to go again. I don't know, car owner, talk to them, but I don't know if there's any opportunities to improve their traffic pattern on the
city.
Is there anybody here tonight representing Bingers? He owns both of those properties. I don't know how that they might be able to complement each other, open up a little more at the Shell station to let traffic into the other one that's closer to the intersection.
Right, and unfortunately on this project, we're not really getting on the private property to make improvements for them, but it would be something for the adjacent property owners to be aware of and possibly make some business plan to make some changes. We will try to minimize it.
How far the traffic divider coming out of First Street, how far does that go? I know there's a lot of accidents with people going east and turning in and people coming west and turning in.
Yes,
and then
sir.
Yeah, and then they'll dive in to go to Burger King or whatever. And
this here, I don't have a solid number, but I'm going to guess somewhere, if this is a radius of 75, this is going to probably extend up from this island, 75, somewhere around 50 to 75 feet, I think. That's approximation.
The cross traffic, usually if you're going to pull up there and go across, you pull in front of the guy who's going to make the right-hand turn there, and he can't see oncoming cars coming. So I got to agree with Roger. I think the cross traffic, stopping the cross traffic, is going to straighten this intersection up.
Yeah.
When will that, what portion of the project is that built?
That's stage two, anticipated year after stage one, which is the regrading. Okay. So a year later.
Are there any more comments from the public?
These guys coming around this way, pick up speed and get
one
up
more.
Sure.
When do you project the vehicle
space
traffic?
I don't know if there's space there.
They want to go south on 20. If they're coming down First Street, if you're projecting to turn on Columbia and then take a left to go south on 24,
we're not doing any improvement. You know, if the local passenger cars want to come down and come this way, that's fine. We'll sign this one as the truck route up here on the loop. Columbia will be, we won't do any improvements there. We're not planning on it. We're not on the budget.
You're not going to sign it any differently, though.
We will sign the truck route and cars, people in other area, you know.
Because again, there's a sight distance problem right there in Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Right here?
Right there.
Yep.
There will be a sight distance problem. So if we're trying to force traffic out of that side street, it's going to be an issue. There's going to be a substantial increase in accidents on that.
The only issue, you see, if we had the money to buy the building, you know, for a raise for this, $8 for. Initially, we did look at this. We just couldn't get there with this. This was the most logical place. But
at some point in time, that seems like the logical thing to do. I mean, there's maybe there'd be a phase three, or because I that makes a lot of sense to move that building back and or take it out of there and make a right turn lane. But then I guess you don't want to track trucks in there, cars. Cars use it anyway. There's a lot of traffic there right now.
The circulatory pattern is going to, you know, the U.S. really opens up for development. I mean, you probably, this could start drawing more businesses down over time just because of creating this type of pattern. You know, so I can see the use of this increasing just with the developers. There's a lot of things that will change over time. You know, we'll do these improvements. Traffic will increase, and of course, then we work with the city of Bethel all the time. And at some point in time, they may come to Paul Mary, who's our local provost guy, and says, we need to do something. And of course, they may go through the funding request, and they'll go after whatever changes occur down the road. But with our numbers now, our traffic numbers, and trying to reduce accidents with the money we have, this is basically what we can afford.
We've also got a South Broadway infrastructure improvement project going on that is going to kind of tie into this. In fact, on our agenda tonight, we You know, we thought maybe we could get all the businesses down there because it will increase truck traffic, it will increase delivery trucks. So this is really going to be a high use area, so we need to plan for it now instead of saying, oh gee whiz, you know, we should have put another lane in there. And because this is going to be a pretty good sized project. It's a $6 million plus project.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's on Broadway.
It's coming south on Broadway. Out into the LAD irrigation. I see LAD irrigation is represented here tonight. Bring water to the port prop, you know, the edge of the port property. It's going to do a lot of things, and these two projects need to kind of tie in and work together now and down the road. Because there will be a lot of people taking the spur and making a left-hand turn and going south on Broadway eventually as that area infrastructure improves down there. Do any of the council members have comments or questions at this time?
Yeah, I do. I work at Evergreen Implement, and we watch that corner a lot because it's sort of teeny, and we're slow anyway. It's not very often.
No.
Yeah.
Hi, Roger.
When you're on break, you mean?
Yeah, on break. There we go. Anyhow, when they're coming from the west, so you're gonna put an island in right there. They're gonna hang a right there. Right now, a lot of the trailers put one axle into your borrow pit there. You're doing nothing there as far as making that a little bit wider.
As far as paving it.
Yeah, or something. So I mean, a lot of trucks, but they cannot negotiate that. They're too long.
They're too long.
We watch it over and over and over. They go in there and you watch the whole trailer tip as they come around there, and then that is. We've been watching that for years.
Okay. I'll look at it. But right now, we don't have any plan for regrading or anything. The only regrading that we're doing here is right here and at the center of the radius. We all look at this. We slap a turning loop on that thing, so we're just playing out what you're doing here. We didn't have it in the budget, but something like this is pretty low dollars. It's in the state right away, so I thought we have to buy something, so I have to do it. It's just a little asphalt surface.
Yeah, because we're putting that concrete deal there. Right now they try to go as far as they can before they turn, but they still put a lot of trailers in there. So one axle, one half of it.
Well, I'm wondering with this position of this island, if it's further this way and we're improving this radius, that might give them that extra bit of room when they turn around.
Yeah, man.
So
that's a really good point. Yeah, right now they're cheating a little bit and but they're not going to be able to do that. So a lot of hay from Basin City, hay trucks make that turn every day.
Well, when we do our design, we do have our turning movements that simulate how the trucks track. And obviously an island, you gotta make sure you keep that out of the way so they don't run over it. And that tells me why we're doing this improvement here as we're shifting things over here a tad. Since we don't have to line up the intersection to standard, we shift it a little bit, we get things moved over and make our turning movement should work.
Mark?
Kind of a sidebar, maybe hopefully you're the guy to talk to, but the state was subject to a little criticism on that intersection because it used to be flashing signs that reduced the speed to 40 or 45, and mockingly they said the state's solution to this intersection was to raise the speed limit to 50 through there. Any comment?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it was 40 at one time?
Well, it was something about the color of the sign meant it was recommended that you slow down to 45 or 40, but it was not enforceable. And then all of a sudden that was all gone, and it starts in outside of Pullman, you go 65, and you get to Othello, it goes 60, then you get to that intersection, it's 50.
Right.
So it was actually the speed was increased as far as a lot of the citizens felt.
What is the slowest speed limit that we can put through that area legally?
On the highway?
Yeah.
I think Janine's got, that's our traffic engineer, I think 50 is it for this highway. And then that's why we're here doing these modifications to kind of rectify the speed.
I know Highway 17 going around Moses Lake, are they 50 or are they
50?
Are they 50? Right.
I have a little information on that. One of the dumb things I did in my life was speed going into West Grade. Because right by our store, everyone's going 55, 60 miles an hour. There's no reduction in speed limit. So I pulled off and I went down and I blew into Grade at about 50 miles an hour. And the guy's sitting up on the top and came in and wrote me a ticket. I just couldn't believe that, you know, that there could be any problem driving 50 or 45 miles, or 50 miles an hour, because that road was going. So I talked to all the state people, because I was getting ready to go to the court, defend myself. And here's what the answer was then, and this has been about 4 years ago, that the reason that they reduced that state highway speed limit lower than this one was because there's no turn lane. When you're going into Spring, there's no left turn lane, so they reduced the speed to 45 miles an hour. But where there's a turn lane, you were limited in the amount or in the speed limit. And the rationale kind of goes to this. You get all the locals thinking that there's a 35 mile an hour speed zone there, and some guy misses that and blowing through at 55 or 60. It just causes more. Yeah. So fortunately, I was not fined. The guy who was running the radar was not certified.
Got him on a technicality, huh? You know, the sign that's out there, I come in faster than 50 sometimes, and it tells you. And
oh,
you,
that's right.
And I think most people do slow down. I know I do. When it flashes to me, I slow down and do go the speed limit. So I don't think we have as many speeders going through there at 65 miles an hour as we used to because of that sign out there.
But the trick is that sign.
That it is.
You notify people every time they come through because we forget.
Yeah. Any more comment from council?
No, I just got one quick one here. I just appreciate you changing that date to spring instead of the fall like you originally talked, because it would have put quite an impact on that community, in that particular area in this community. So appreciate that.
Thank you. We try to do it right as much as we can.
Yeah, that road feeds one big fresh pack shed and two processing plants and then bean plants. And that's the busiest street in town. Most of the time.
That's why we're here today for that part of the information. Make sure you get that.
Stuart?
Just one other comment that the city council might look at making up all Luke Street a no parking, because if we're going to have multiple trucks going down that street, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give us
that's a good idea. Why that'd be bad to put it on Columbia, although I'd like to check with Harvest Fresh, see how that would affect them. To limit some parking on Columbia because you're...
I just don't think, I mean, there is so much traffic in front of our business that takes that and goes around and turns all the hay trucks and stuff, turn that other way. It's going to cause such a headache down Broadway when you divert all that. I think we need to do something, but I'm saying there is truck after truck.
And first, it'll be new traffic on First that's never been there before.
I mean, tons of it. And when you go to pull out of your car pulling out from Columbia, there's going to be a lot of accidents there.
Well, you've got a lot of traffic going by your store.
Oh, yeah.
Not even counting the stuff. I mean, the people inbound, it coming into town. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes to get on the road there.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the traffic that's going to come off Highway 26. A lot of good comments here tonight. There will be more of these informational meetings as we progress, and we will notify each and every one of you about them. We'll now close the public meeting at 7:37, 38. Item number two, committee reports. Do you have any information to share? Oh, at the last meeting, we needed a committee a committee meeting, two people, to meet with the cable, our cable carrier, and negotiate a contract. I thought maybe you might do that, but if you don't, I'm an alternate. If you'd
I don't
be
even have cable.
Interested. Well, your neighbors do.
They'll only be 4 or 5 too.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay. If you can't make it, or Ken, you can't make it, notify me and I'll sit in for you.
We got a couple quick ones. Go ahead. Just a reminder, the Centennial Committee meeting is Thursday, June the 4th, 4:30, and we're still working on a lot of different things going on. I think our main portion of that meeting will probably be toward our calendar. We've got some pictures and whatnot and kind of got a rough format of what we've got on that calendar, so that's basically what we're going to work on. So everyone's welcome to come to that. Got one other thing. I had the opportunity last Friday to go to Tri-Cities, which in Pasco, we had a Odessa sub-area meeting with Marie Cantwell's staff. And there were people there from the Bureau, the Irrigation District, Guama, including myself. I was invited to that, and we made several comments of what we think needs to be done as far as surface water in relation to our deep wells, and also the recharging of some of our deep wells, and some of the problems we've got with not only city water and our wells, and we're just trying to feed a lot of information to them, and they are picking that information up and taking it back to Washington, D.C., tie this all together. Hopefully it'll all fit in the near future with the addition to the Columbia Basin project and whatnot. And I think it was a well worthwhile meeting that we had. So about all I got, I guess.
Okay. Pool?
Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
You read my mind.
I knew it.
there was a rumor the swim team was practicing in the pool today.
Today was their start date.
Wow, so we pulled it off, huh?
Yeah, we were there at 6, and our guards got overtime after 6, so we were ushering them out at 6 o'clock, 3:30 to 6.
Great. And just to let you know, I got a wife, 2 daughters, and an exchange student that remind me now that we told them the tennis court project was going to be 30 days, and enough said about that. They have a calendar in there. Today was the day. Well, I understand there was. It has to be done in the right order, and they were going to. Apparently, the fencing company got delayed, and I was pushing, you know, this is a project that should last 25 years. Let's not do the epoxy top layer and then bring people in to dig the post holes and ruin our epoxy layer. So apparently we were able to put that off. And now I see the fencing company was there today, so they'll just have to buck up, I guess, till we...
Then they're going to apply the epoxy after the fence is in?
Yeah, they expect it to be fencing out of there this week, epoxy starting next month.
Okay.
Is the fencing company doing the post in the concrete too, or in the asphalt, or the same company's doing that? Or?
Yeah, they're doing all of the tennis posts.
Yeah.
And the fence posts.
Okay. So they're there this week doing that.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, apparently last week when I was gone, there was no progress, and that was noted, so I heard about it. But, okay, as long as they see people over there, I think that will keep them happy for a while.
Set in on committee reports?
I guess we had a fire when you got some report. One thing I was thinking about was they just had a class graduate of 17 or 18. Can't remember what they said, and everybody graduated, so that was really neat. Some new recruits, I guess.
I don't think it was that many.
Was it? I'm trying to remember. I was trying to
remember. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe 10, 8
to
10.
Okay, I couldn't remember for sure. And then what was the other one? The fire? Something that wasn't on there.
Well, did they do their audit?
I don't know if they were going to audit the ladder truck. It was tested, and I haven't heard.
I haven't heard either.
Okay. Item number 3, unfinished business. Item number 4, new business. We'll adjourn the workshop. Thank you for coming.